I am Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion time, where today we're talking about Psalms 127. We're going to be just taking a look and meditating on Psalms 127 today. It's just a short psalm, but there's so much in here, some amazing promises for us that are found in this psalm today. But let's get started with prayer. If you're new to us here, the way we do these daily communions is we start with about a two-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture coming from Ephesians chapter 1. And the prayer of Jabez that's found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a couple minutes to get still and to examine ourselves, to get our hearts and minds prepared before we get into our time of communion today. But let's get started with the prayer. Heavenly Father, I just pray for everybody who's watching or listening, all their families, their friends, everybody connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. And Father, I just thank you for releasing us from darkness, transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And Father, I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us, and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us, and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe, the same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet, and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Father, I ask you to bless us, to bless our time here together today, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and your grace and your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to keep your hand on us. Help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And I ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. So let's get started with the other half of prayer. So the other half of prayer, taking time to examine ourselves, to listen, before we take communion today. This is an important part of just our daily routine, I think. So the first step, let's get positioned in the light. God has released us from darkness. He's transferred us into the light, into the kingdom of Jesus. And that transfer happens through the forgiveness of sins. It's forgiveness that brings us in. It's that grace and mercy and forgiveness and love that brings us into the light. But then we have to walk in that light. We got to receive that grace and mercy from God. So if you feel like you've missed it in a way, we can run to God, receive that grace and mercy. But then it's got to flow through us. We are often the problem. We are often the kink in the hose, blocking the flow of what God wants to do because we put too much pressure on ourselves. We don't give ourselves that same grace and mercy. We put unrealistic expectations on ourselves. We condemn ourselves. We beat ourselves up. We're our own worst critic. Just taking that pressure off yourself, just like God has done for you. Give yourself that same grace and mercy, and then begin to do the same for other people. We're supposed to be taking the pressure off of other people rather than putting the pressure on people, just like God has done for us. Letting that grace and forgiveness flow to them, just, which means what? We got to let some things go. Some things maybe we've been holding against people or against ourselves, grudges or things that they've done to us, whatever. We just got to let them go. Be willing to forgive just like God has done for us. And that's how we begin to walk in the light, as he is in the light. But then we got to magnify that light so that it grows bigger and bigger and brighter on the inside of us and hopefully shining out through us. How do we do that? It's all about what you're magnifying. What is it to magnify? It's to focus on. It's to concentrate on. It's to make bigger. It's to magnify. So really this time is about taking some time to get still and to reflect back over the last day. What have I been magnifying? What am I focused on? What am I meditating on? What am I rolling over in my mind? What am I imagining in my mind? What am I thinking about and talking about all day long? Those are the things that we're magnifying. And really, there's two choices. We can magnify God. We can magnify light and love and whatever is lovely and just and pure and of good report and praiseworthy, what's going well in our life, how far we've come. We can magnify those things, all the ways that God's come through, keeping our eyes and minds fixed on the things above where God is working continually for our good. That's one option. The other option is to magnify the problems, magnify issues, problems, things to complain about, evil and darkness in this world, all the things that are going wrong. We can begin to focus on and meditate and talk about those things continually. And they begin to grow bigger. Whichever one you focus on, you're going to get more of. And it's going to begin to grow bigger and bigger. So we can be transferred into the light. Here's the truth. We can be transferred into the light, but still focused on darkness. We can be trying to fight against the darkness when God's just saying simply focus on light, focus on me, and let me take care of all the problems. And some of this comes back to trust. Faith, simple faith, childlike faith and trust. Wait a minute. God's bigger than the problems. He loves me. He has steadfast, unfailing love for me. He'll never let me down. He has the perfect solutions. He's always right on time, and nothing is impossible for him. Whatever those problems are, Jesus says, be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have problems. They're still going to be there, but we can choose to focus over here. So just taking a minute here, what are some things as we begin to focus on the light? One of the greatest ways to do that is gratitude. Just simple gratitude. What are some things that you're grateful for today? Because either you're in gratitude or you're not. Either you're in gratitude or you're not. And so if you're not in gratitude, that means we're in some things that we're not supposed to be in. Complaining, gossiping, talking badly about things, whatever it is. Feeling like we don't have it yet, these types of things. Faith praises God before you see the answer. Because you trust that he's going to work it all out. And then looking back at how far you've come. Sometimes we get caught up looking out into the future, how far we still have to go. And it looks big and overwhelming, maybe impossible. When God is saying, look how far I've brought you already. Look back and gain some encouragement from those things. And he wants to just continue to do more and more in your life. And then whatever we're magnifying on the inside is going to begin to show up in our emotions. It's going to begin to show up as the fruit of our lips and in our emotions. I like to think of peace and joy as some of my best indicators of what I'm thinking about, what I'm magnifying on the inside all day. God has given us his supernatural peace and his joy, and it's like a light switch. Either that peace and joy are flowing in our lives, that peace that surpasses all understanding, that joy of the Lord that is your strength. Either they're flowing in your life or they're not. And we can get them flowing, but then sometimes we get magnifying and meditating on the problem and it shuts off the flow of it. And it shuts off the flow. And it's working to get it where we can sustain this for longer, where we just stay continually in this state of peace and joy, because that's where the results begin to happen. That's where God's power can begin to flow through. It's got to flow from the inside of you out into the world. It's got to flow through your emotions. It's one of the areas it's got to flow through, where it's mixed with his peace and joy when you execute the things that you know to do. I like to think of peace as my greatest indicator that I'm single-minded in what I'm magnifying over here. Got my eyes fixed on God, unwavering. Peace is my indicator of that. I like to think of joy as my indicator that I'm living in the present moment and I'm aware of God's presence with me. We often get in living in the past, worry about the future, dread about the future, uncertain futures. So listen to the song. I think it was the guy from Rascal Flatts. I forget his name right off the top of my head. And Torrin Wells talking about he might have a future full of question marks, but he knows God who holds his heart. You can put our hope and our trust in him, that he holds our future. So as we get more present, what do you know to do today? What do you know to do today? Not the things you are unclear on, not the things you're uncertain of, not the things you're not sure of just yet. What do you know to do today? We can simplify life so much if we just say, you know, what do I know to do today? And begin to write out a plan. Plan your day with God each day, getting still, listening, asking Him for some guidance on your plan. What do I know to do today? Anything that needs to be done that you know? Any promptings or stirrings that you had on the inside, or just something you feel God is prompting you to do? What do you know to do today? Make a quick list of those things. And then let's focus on executing those things today the right way, with peace and joy and confidence in Him, trusting that He's there with you, helping you to execute these things. You don't have to do it on your own. And you might say, it looks like I got more to do today than I can possibly get done. And that's where you say, you know what, God, I need your help with this. Every day, regardless of what you've got to do, we should be praying that prayer. God, I need your help with this today. Help me do these things in your strength today. You do that day by day. You'll be amazed at how your days go. You begin to do that day by day. And then we've got to stay tuned into His voice. It's His voice that leads us from the jaws of distress to this spacious, beautiful place that's free from all restriction. But we've got to stay tuned into His leading and His voice. So taking a few minutes to get still, if you need to pause the recording, you can. And just ask this question: God, what is it you're trying to teach me or show me over the last 24 hours? And just get still and listen. And whatever comes to mind, begin to write it down. Begin to record your journey. You do this day by day. And begin to record your journey. That's one of the most important parts, I think. Writing down and recording whatever you hear. Because one day those lessons are going to be valuable for you to look back on and have a record of your journey, but they're also going to be valuable things to pass on to other people one day. So let's take a look at this Psalms 127. I was reading this before bed last night, and there are just some amazing promises. And every time we take communion, it's an opportunity to receive promises from God. It's an opportunity to meditate on the sacrifice of Jesus and God's unfailing love for us, and that nothing's impossible with Him. But it's also an opportunity for us to receive promises from Him, that all the promises in Christ are yes and amen. So this is just a short psalm, 6 verses. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. So we see here, we talked about recently, not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit, Lord. That's how we're supposed to be doing these things. So as we begin to work, we begin to build things in life. Is it you building it? Is it you watching over it? Or is it God who's building it? And that's where we got to learn to tune into Him, to follow His leading, to take action on the things that He's telling us to do, and trust that He's the one building it through us. Jesus says, it's not me who does the work. It's the Father in me that does the work. Now, because of this, it says, in vain, you rise early and you stay up late, toiling for food to eat. For He, for God, grants sleep to those He loves. Any of you have been struggling with sleep? Maybe your mind's spinning over and over, and that used to be me. Couldn't get to sleep. My mind would be spinning over and over on things. Couldn't get to sleep. But God grants sleep to those He loves. And notice here, what's the focus? We're not supposed to be toiling and chasing after money and stuff and food and provision. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of heaven. And all of these things will what? Be added to you. All these things will be added to you. It's kind of like this trick question. We know we need food to eat. We know we need clothes to wear. We know we need money and provisions to survive in life. But we're not supposed to seek those things. We seek God and trust that when we do, He's going to add the things to us that we need. And we don't have to do it through toiling, rising up early, staying up late to try to toil away to make ends meet. He grants sleep to those He loves. And it says, children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring, a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are children born in one's youth. I'm reminded one time I was working out in my gym. We were actually doing an interesting thing. I had a couple guys that we were doing a Bible study with, and we were actually doing it at my gym, kind of after the gym was closed. And I had a personal training gym for about 15 years. And we were doing a Bible study after we were closed one night. And we were doing this thing. We were doing some Bible study, and then we would take some time to kind of get still, and we would add some movement into it sometimes. And we would do a little bit of working out while we were just kind of listening for God. And one time I was doing an exercise with some elastic bands, and I'm pressing the elastic bands and I'm moving the bands like this. And all of a sudden I just hear on the inside, God saying, I'm stretching you back like an arrow to shoot you into the hearts of the people that you've been called to. I'm stretching you back like this elastic band to shoot you like an arrow into the hearts of the people that you've been called to, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. Then I began to see this verse. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. So I believe there's this process. You think about shooting an arrow. Okay. You're in the quiver first. You're there, you're getting ready, you're getting prepared. God is teaching you and he's training you. But then you get ready to be shot to the destination. You get ready to be shot to the target. When you first, that arrow goes in, you actually pull the arrow back away from the target. So one of the things I've learned as we walk out God's plans for our life, often it seems like we're going the wrong way for a little while. It often seems like we're going the wrong way, like he's pulling us back. And now we get into this stretched position, where it may seem like you're getting stretched, but his hand is still on you. His hand is still on that arrow, but he's got you in this stretched position that's moving away from the target, and he's aiming it and he's guiding it just right. And at the perfect time, what happens? Let's go with that arrow, and it shoots right to the target. I believe that's somewhat like what the path that God takes us on in our life. We're there, we're getting prepared, and he begins to stretch us back and to prepare us. And there's this tension, there's this pressure, there's this stretching that's happening as he pulls you back. But then at the perfect time, he lets go. And he's got you aimed right at the perfect destination. You just begin to accelerate right at that target. So we're going to take communion over this. And just receiving these promises from God, that unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. If we can seek first the kingdom of heaven and all the things we need will be added to us. He grants sleep to those he loves. And that our children are a heritage from the Lord, that they're a blessing that he has given us, a reward from him. And we can be training them up in the ways of the Lord, preparing them, molding them, stretching them, guiding them. This whole program, the Abundant Life Blueprint that we have, started with that verse from Proverbs 13:22, that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And being able to pass on lessons from one generation to the next, I believe that's an important thing that God wants to see happening. In fact, in the Old Testament, it says one of the reasons God chose Abraham is because God knew he would teach his kids. He knew he would teach Isaac what to do, how to walk in the ways of God. He chose Abraham, it says, in the Old Testament, because he knew that Abraham would teach his children. So if you have children, just a reminder for us to be building them up, to be preparing them, to be training them in the things that God is teaching you. And that's where recording your journey is a big part of this, and getting them recording their journey as well. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time of communion. Just thank you for this time of communion and for your just steadfast, unfailing love for us. That you loved us so much, you were willing to send your one and only Son to die for us, that we could have life. We could have this covenant relationship with you. We could be connected and reconciled back to you, one with you again. one with him, one with you. And we can know your great love for us that surpasses all understanding. We thank you that nothing is impossible with you. We thank you for your plans and intentions and all that you want to do in our lives. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he told his disciples, "Take it. Receive," that he makes you right with God, one with him, holy, perfect in his sight. You can approach him with freedom and confidence. We are his children. And he's preparing us, stretching us back like an arrow, shooting us at the target that he has for our lives. We just thank you for it, Lord. Father, we just ask you to bless this bread in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So then after supper, Jesus took the cup. And he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." It's that forgiveness of sins that brings us into the light, transfers us in, that we can have this covenant relationship with him. All that received him become children of God. So Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this cup and what it represents, and we ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. So now it's simply about walking it out. What do you know to do today? Keeping your eyes fixed on God, executing the things that you know to do, trusting that he's building something through you, letting him do the work through you, because unless he builds it, we labor in vain. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to the AbundantLifeTrainingCenter.com.